We read God's Word this morning from Psalm 50. Psalm 50. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather My saints together unto Me, those that have made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. Selah. Hear, O My people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before Me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is Mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are Mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is Mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare My statutes, or that thou shouldest take My covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest My words before thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth Me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Thus far we read Scripture. On the basis of Psalm 50, and in accordance with all of God's Word, we consider this morning the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 42. Question and answer 110. What doth God forbid in the 8th commandment? Thou shalt not steal. God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but He comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse, and waste of His gifts. Question 111. But what doth God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also that I faithfully labor, so that I may be able to relieve the needy.
If
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, last week Sunday morning in our introduction to the seventh commandment, we took a step back and looked generally at the Heidelberg Catechism as a whole. We took note of the theme of the catechism, of the three divisions of the catechism that correspond to the three things that we must know to enjoy the comfort of belonging to Jesus. We made the point that we are currently in the third section of the catechism on gratitude. We obey the Ten Commandments as a desire to show our thankfulness to God. This morning, let's take a step back and look at the Ten Commandments as a whole. Remember that the Ten Commandments are divided into two main tables. The principle of the commandments are love. The first table of the law, the first four commandments, how we show our love to God. The second table of the law, commandments 5 through 10, how we show our love to the neighbor. The first commandment teaches us that we love God by worshiping God alone. The second commandment teaches us that we love God by worshiping Him not by images, but only as He has commanded in His Word. The third commandment teaches us that we love God by worshiping Him according to His names. The fourth commandment teaches us that we worship God and love God by doing so rightly on the Sabbath day. That's the first table of the law, love for God. Now the second table of the law, how we show our love to our neighbor. We do that according to the fifth commandment, by honoring those in authority. The sixth commandment, by not killing, but by doing good to one another in love. The seventh commandment, by not committing adultery. The ninth commandment, by not lying. And the tenth commandment, by not coveting what God has not given us. And the same principle holds true for the commandment that we consider this morning. We show love for our neighbor. We show love to one another by obeying the eighth commandment of God's law. Thou shalt not steal. But we need to remember that in showing our love to our neighbor in this regard, in the end we are showing our love to God. The two tables of the law are intimately connected, so that failure to love our neighbor by stealing from him, in the end, is failure to love God, and really is an expression of hatred and contempt for God. Let's remember that as we look at the eighth commandment, as it's set forth in the Heidelberg Catechism. We take this morning the commandment itself as the theme. Thou shalt not steal. In the first place, we look at the fundamental principle of the commandment. In the second place, the important calling. And then in the third place, the necessary contentment. The principle of the eighth commandment is set forth in the very first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The principle of the commandment, generally speaking, is the fact that God is the sovereign God over absolutely everything. The principle, more specifically, is the fact that as the sovereign God, God owns all things. That's set forth in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created everything. Out of nothing, He called into existence everything. And by virtue of the fact that God created everything, God owns everything. As Creator, God is the owner of all things. One of the classic passages that sets that forth is Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. What we read this morning in Psalm 50 echoes what was set forth in Psalm 24, verses 10 through 12 of Psalm 50. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. In the Old Testament, God required that the people offer sacrifices to Him. Sacrifices that were an expression of sin, sacrifices that were an expression of thanks to God, sacrifices that pointed to Jesus Christ. Those sacrifices came from the things of this earth, in particular the animals of this earth. But in the Old Testament, there was a wrong notion that was creeping into the minds of the people. A notion that came from the pagan gods and the pagan lands. And that notion was this, that in some way God needed those sacrifices. That's what the pagans thought. The gods need our sacrifices for their existence, for their happiness, for their satisfaction. Jehovah God demanded sacrifices, but He didn't need those animals. And why didn't He need those animals? Because they were His to begin with. The cattle upon a thousand hills are God's. Because God created all things. And as Creator, God is owner of everything. And already at the beginning, we see an important application for us. We are ingrained to think and to speak along these lines. My house, my car, my bike, my. And while it's okay to speak that way, God does give us these things. We take ownership of them. Nevertheless, constantly using that language and thinking that way can lead us to forget this important point. In the end, not mine, but God's. God owns everything. But now we need to take this principle one step further. And that step is this. As the sovereign God who created everything and therefore owns everything, God as sovereign has the right to distribute what He owns to people on this earth as He best sees fit. What's the explanation for the disparity that is found in this earth with respect to the things of this earth? It's simply the sovereign will and good pleasure of God. God is pleased to give some much and riches. God is pleased to give others little in the things of this earth. And what God does with the things of this earth is simply a reflection of what God does spiritually. To some, He bestows upon them the gifts of salvation, forgiveness of sins in Christ, righteousness in Jesus, fellowship with God, and to others, He does not give those gifts. And the same thing is true with respect to the things of this earth. To some He gives much, and to others He gives little. And all of this is wrapped up in the very last word of the answer to question 110. Gifts. Gifts. Everything we have are simply gifts from God. And by virtue of them being gifts, that means that we did not deserve them and we did nothing to gain them. This runs contrary to a notion that is found in the world today that can creep into our thinking as well, the notion of entitlement, that we in some way are entitled to the things of this earth. Entitled, we may say, to more than what God has given us. We're not entitled and we don't deserve anything everything we have are gifts from God. And because God, as sovereign, owns all things and sovereignly distributes all things, God has the right to tell us what to do with the things that we own and what to do with the property of others. That's the emphasis of Lord's Day 42. What doth God forbid? And then the answer, God forbids. 111, what doth God require? God has the right to tell us how we are to view and treat our own property and that of our neighbor. And it's important to see that, because what that means is that all of the violations of the Eighth Commandment trace their root to God. You steal from your neighbor. That's a sin against your neighbor from whom you stole. But that's a sin against God Himself. God sovereignly distributed everything. And when we steal, we are dissatisfied with what God has given us. That's an attack upon the very sovereignty of God Himself, an expression not of love, but of hatred to God. That's the principle of the Eighth Commandment. God owns everything and therefore has the right to tell us how to view and treat what He has given us. The principle of the Eighth Commandment for us then is that we are stewards of what God has given us. Stewardship implies that there is one who owns something and he gives that to another. And that's the case with everything that we have. We are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. We'll get into the ways in which we do that in the second point, but just see that calling generally right now. Stewards of what God has given us. Christian stewardship is using rightly what God has given us according to His Word, and pressing everything we have into the service of His name. We can learn something about stewardship from one of the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the talents. We know that parable well, the main lines of the story. There was a master who was going to a faraway country, and before he left, he gave to his servants talents. Three servants, three differing amount of talents. To one servant he gave 5 talents. To a second servant he gave 2 talents. And to the third servant he gave 1 talent. The servants were called to be good stewards of the talents that the master gave them. We can learn something about stewardship from this parable. In the first place, stewardship requires a certain responsibility. The master gave those talents to the servants with the expectation that they would be responsible for them, that they would care for them. And that's what God gives or does for us when He gives us the things of this earth. We're stewards of them by being responsible for our things and caring for our things in accordance with His Word. Stewardship requires responsibility. In the second place, it requires accountability. At any time, that master could come back to his servants, as he did, and expect them to give a good account of what they did with the talents. One day, we will have to give account to God for what we do with the things of this earth and the things of our neighbor. That day will come at the end in the judgment. That will be part of the final judgment. We are accountable for the things that we have been given by God. And stewardship also, in the third place, requires a certain faithfulness. By what they did with those talents, those servants showed their faithfulness to the master. Two of those servants, by being good stewards of those talents, showed a faithfulness to their master. That other servant did not. And the same is true for us. How we treat our goods and the goods of our neighbors show our faithfulness to God. We see again how everything, the two tables of the law, are connected so that the second table, in the end, has to do with God Himself. We're called to be good stewards of what God has given us, but now we need to see the connection to the eighth commandment. And the connection is simply this. We show ourselves to be good stewards of what God has given us by obeying the eighth commandment. God created everything. God owns everything. God sovereignly distributes everything and tells us, be good stewards of what God has given you. And this is how you do it. You obey the eighth commandment. Negatively, you don't steal from your neighbor. And positively, you promote the advantage of your neighbor in every way possible. And so there comes an important calling in the eighth commandment. And that's what's set forth in Lord's Day 42. The division of Lord's Day 2 is very simple. The first question and answer, 110, sets forth the negative prohibition of the eighth commandment. And then question 111 sets forth the positive requirement. We know that about the commandments. There's a negative always and a positive. So let's look at that calling that comes to us from God as it's set forth in Lord's Day 42. First, the negative. Four things according to the answer of question 110. Number one, in the first place, God forbids, the Catechism says, those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate. At the outset here, we have a reference to the most explicit and overt forms of stealing. Let's remind ourselves what stealing is. Stealing is simply the unlawful appropriation or taking of another person's property. Right at the forefront of the Lord's Day are the most extreme forms of that. Forms that are punishable by the authorities of the state. You walk through mire, see something on the shelf, take it, slip it into your pocket. Or what's probably a bigger danger is you go through the self-checkout and accidentally forget to scan an item or two and simply place it in your bag. You fill your tank of gas up and you drive off without paying. You walk through a parking lot. You see something in the back seat of a car. Open the door and take it. And the list goes on and on. The explicit forms of stealing, punishable by the authorities of the state. That in the first place. What the Catechism refers to in the second place hits home probably a bit more closely. He forbids all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor. We can label this second point, stealing by means of trick or deceit or deception. And this hits home a bit more closely. And then the Catechism goes on to explain the ways in which we do this. Under the appearance of right, by force, by unjust weights, ells, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God. We steal under the guise of it being lawful and right. You read this section of the Lord's Day and it feels like you're transported back into a 16th century general merchandise store. L's and measures and false weights and so forth. But the principle holds true. Stealing by means of deceit or trickery. That was alive and well, of course, during the times of the Bible. Proverbs 11, verse 1. Proverbs 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Back then, just like today, transactions were made according to weight. Someone comes into the store, I want 3 pounds of this particular kind of food. The merchant goes to his weights, pulls out his 3-pound weight when in reality it's only 2.5 pounds, measures out the food. They pay for the 3 pounds when they only got 2 pounds, 2.5 pounds, and therefore the merchant steals 2.5 pounds worth of money. Stealing by means of trickery or deceit. And we can be guilty of this as well. We sell things. What's popular today, obviously, is selling online, selling on Craigslist. Let's be sure we're not deceptive in what we sell. Making something look better than it is. Getting more for it than what it's really worth. Violation of the 9th commandment as well. You quote a job. You say, I'll use these materials and I'll do it to this specification for this price. You go to the job. You use not as good materials. You cut corners wherever possible. And in the end, therefore, you steal from the one you are doing the job for. You say, I worked 10 hours, I worked hard, put a day's worth of work in. But in reality, it was hardly a full day's worth of work. Stealing by means of trickery or deceit. Closely related to the next commandment that we consider next week. But that in the second place. In the third place, the Catechism says, what is forbidden by the 8th commandment is all covetousness. Covetousness is stealing. You look at your neighbor's goods and you say, I want that. You're stealing already in your heart. We'll hold off from talking more about this because we'll get into the 10th commandment in a few weeks. And then in the last place, the Catechism forbids all abuse and waste of His gifts. And this goes back to the principle for us. We are to be good stewards of what God has given us. And that means we do not abuse what God has given us. We treat with respect and care the things of this earth. And we don't waste His gifts. We don't spend frivolously for the sake of spending. Everything we spend has a good aim and a good purpose. Abuse and waste of gifts are forbidden by the 8th commandment. That's the negative. Thou shalt not steal. But as the Catechism makes clear, there's a positive in the 8th commandment as well. And the positive requirement is set forth in the first sentence of the answer to 111. That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may. 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. But that, people of God, is not good enough. We can't just not steal. Positively, this is what we do. We promote the advantage of our neighbor in every way possible. Remember, the Catechism is dealing with the things that we own. That's the 8th commandment. In that respect, we promote the advantage of our neighbor. That requires that We have a certain respect for the things of our neighbor. We borrow something from someone. And while we have it, we don't treat it with respect. We break it or damage it. According to the Eighth Commandment, we pay for it, or we replace it, or we fix it. Because if we give it back, damaged, unusable, we might as well have stole it. We've rendered it unusable. We promote the advantage of our neighbor simply by respecting, in the first place, the things that they own. And the Catechism speaks of the golden rule. Deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. The golden rule as it's applied to the things that we have. We show this promotion of our neighbor in a special way when it comes to the poor. That's at the end of the answer to question 111. Further also that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. The Catechism brings up work. We work so that we don't have to steal. God owns all everything. God gives us these things, but He gives us these things in the way of working for them. That's one of the purposes of work. But that's not what the Catechism says is the main purpose of work with respect to the Eighth Commandment. We work for the purpose of being able to help those in need. Simply following Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may be able, or that he may have, to give him that needeth. This has direct application to the first offering that we take every single Sunday night. When it comes to digging in our pockets to give to the needy, let's not have short arms, as it were. Let's give liberally to those in need. But it's not simply that first collection. God has given us gifts and talents and abilities. Let's be active as a congregation in seeking out the need of others and using not only money, but using our gifts and abilities to help and to seek out the advantage and promotion of our neighbor as brothers and sisters in the church of Jesus Christ. We obey the Eighth Commandment by promoting the advantage of our neighbor. And there was one who promoted the advantage of his neighbor like no one has ever done. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And his neighbor being all of his people. God has given us so much in the things of this earth. And the calling we have is to be selfless, to give and help others and not to steal. Jesus Christ had so much. As the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, before He became a man, shared in the fellowship with God the Father and God the Spirit, shared in that perfect fellowship in glory. But the moment that He became a man, He became poor, poverty stricken. And He was that all of His life long. A poverty that culminated on Calvary's cross. And why did Jesus do that selflessly? So that we, who are poor spiritually, might be rich. Rich with the blessings of salvation. Rich in fellowship with God and Jesus Christ. We stole the salvation God has given us. You understand why I say that. Stealing is having what is not lawfully yours. We don't deserve in any way the blessings of salvation were lawfully given to us now because we're in Christ. But apart from Christ, we don't deserve it. Jesus Christ became poor so that we might become rich. He promoted the advantage of His people by giving Himself to the death of the cross. And when we remember that, then we more readily and with eagerness obey this commandment, not stealing, but going forth, promoting the best that we can, the advantage of one another. But we will only do that if we are content with what God has given us. Contentment is the spiritual grace of being satisfied with what God has given us. And we need that contentment. If we've been given much and if we've been given little, we need that contentment to obey this commandment. Those who are rich, if not content, will not give as they are called. And those who are poor, if they are not content, will be more ready to steal that which is not theirs. We all need contentment. We must say, with the Apostle Paul, in Philippians 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." May we say that we have learned, in whatsoever state we are, rich or poor, therewith to be content. And notice that Paul learned that. He didn't simply have contentment. It's a process. And that's how we go forward this morning. Learning contentment. Praying for contentment. Doing everything that we can to rely upon God to be content with what He has given us. And when we are content, then we go forth obeying this commandment, not stealing in any way, but in all things seeking the advantage of our neighbor with respect to the things of this earth. And doing so out of a genuine love for one another, a love that is really for our God and Father in heaven and for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord God, we thank Thee for everything that Thou hast given unto us. We don't deserve it. We know that. And may we be good stewards of the things of this earth and do that out of love for Thee and love for one another. Forgive, O God, what was said or what was heard in sin. For Jesus' sake, amen.